Hope you're enjoying this podcast brought to you by Changing Room Chat. This episode is sponsored by Nicopods Elite, and we have quickly stopped for an advertisement with our sponsors. You have 30 seconds, pal. Go.
Here at Nicopods Elite, we supply premium nicotine pouches. We operate in the Aberdeen area and supply next-day delivery throughout the UK to personal customers and also to businesses. We offer a wide range of brands such as Killa, Pablo, and many other fan favourites. Find us on Instagram now at Nicopods Elite, or browse our website at www.nicopodselite.com. Boom. There you go, diving easy full 30.
I know the feeling, brother. Welcome to episode 6 of the Changing Room Chat, sponsored by Nicopods Elite, and as always, hosted by New Advocates Park at East End. Today, I've got retired Highland League legend, Gary McGowan. How are you, pal?
I'm good, mate. Thank you for having me on.
No problem at all. How's retirement?
It's very good. I just want to touch on you called my legend there. I think we should keep that in.
Inverted brackets.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, retirement's good. It took me a while to say that. It took me a while to actually get to a point of being happy.
Yeah.
Away from football. I think everyone knows I dipped in and out of football for probably the last 3 or 4 years of my career. And I wouldn't say it left a sour taste in my mouth, but I basically didn't know what to do without football.
Yeah.
But I'm now, hand on heart, probably in the best place I've ever been, and I don't miss it. I can now go and watch how I've watched a good few games this year, and just a normal paying punter, just enjoy it now, so it's good.
Did you get your pipe and slippers from anywhere in particular?
I could probably still outrun half the boys in the league today.
You can outrun me, like, that's for sure. So what we normally do with the boys is we kind of go back to the start. So when did you kind of discover football? What was it? Just natural, or?
So from an early age, like, obviously I think everyone starts playing football with their mates and at school. And to be honest, I always remember being pretty decent from a very early age. My dad was never involved in football, so it was always just kind of playing with my mates. And as I say, I knew I was half decent from a very early age, and played in the school team, played in that, and then moved on to, like, juvenile boys club football and stuff. So
you've got a story about that, have you not? The school team.
Yeah. So again, it was probably, I can look back now on, like, pinch points in my life and look back and think, Jesus, this was probably a sign of things to come. But I think I was the only person to get sent off for the school team. I think I was 13 or 14 and we were playing, and I got hauled up in front of the assembly on the Monday morning for getting sent off. And I just remember thinking at that point that things like that shouldn't be happening. I was like, why am I getting sent off? Why am I the only one to get sent off? Why have I got this aggression in me? Why have I got this anger that I can't get out, basically?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the start of it. Like, I think throughout the first, I don't know, 10, 15 years of my career, I was sent off a ridiculous amount of times.
What was that sent off for, with the assembly one?
The one at school, I can't actually remember. I think I probably kicked out with somebody. I had such a petulance.
Yeah.
I genuinely still to this day, like, hate losing anything that I do.
Yeah.
Like, I've just got that mentality, but I was just generally a petulant old bastard, to be honest. And I think I volleyed somebody.
Yeah.
And got sent off. And as I say, just made a complete scene of it. And the whole school's up in the Monday assembly, and Gary McGowan, can you stand up and just do not ever do that again? And I'm just like, oh,
did you have to apologise?
I think I did. I definitely had to apologise, yeah, because obviously it's taking the school into a bad name and stuff. And yeah, it was a tough start.
So what kind of age or what kind of level did you realise I'm pretty good at this?
Probably around 14.
Yeah.
Around 14, 15, I was playing with Inch. I think it was an under 16s I was playing with when I was 14, and I ended up going down and having a couple of trial games with Aberdeen.
Right.
At that point, went down and played against, like, Dundee United, Motherwell, I think. And I was going down, I was playing, and I'd done it for a good few months, but nothing ever came of it. But at that point, I think I knew that I had something.
Yeah.
There was definitely something there, and it's something that I think every young boy wants to do. They want to play at the highest level they could, and I thought, if I just keep my head down and kind of knock my pan in, it could possibly take me somewhere. So probably around the age of 14, 15, I knew it was.
Was there anyone decent in that Aberdeen team?
Yeah, there was Ricky Foster, Xander Diamond. I think that's probably
Xander Diamond's a handsome boy, like.
but he's not the best. Probably still got more money than me. He's done all right for himself. But no, it was, I actually, one of the like main things that I can remember from that time was, it was a lot of boys from like the Central Belt, and I remember me just going down and like, them not really taking me on. Yeah. I was just like, I felt like a complete outsider, if I'm honest. Okay. It wasn't as if, oh, you're going in and this guy will be part of the squad. I just felt it was a bit of a stop gap, and it was a great experience, obviously, going down at that age and playing for Aberdeen and stuff, but yeah. I never thought, I probably never believed it would go anywhere. So it kind of didn't go anywhere from that.
See, those boys that you mentioned, obviously, Diamond, Foster, went on to play SPL, England.
Yeah, yeah.
See, at that age, were they miles apart, or were you in amongst quality-wise with them, or could you tell they were going to go on?
It's a very good question, that. I think at that age, you can tell guys that are probably a step ahead.
Yeah.
It's more to do with, like, confidence and
young boys
can carry themselves either well, or they can carry themselves quite nervous and don't want to get on the ball. And if you're confident as a kid and you get on the ball, you're going to get noticed.
Yeah,
if you do those kind of things. And I think those guys, Xander Diamond's always a big lad at that age anyway.
Yeah,
big commanding boy, and you just thought, aye, these boys are, how vocal they were as well. Yeah. Things like that. I went in and was probably like a mouse, didn't speak, and just. But I was a good footballer, I believed in myself, but in terms of going in and trying to make an impact,
I can't. Am I enough to make things? Yeah,
absolutely.
So what kind of happened with the Aberdeen thing? Did that kind of fizzle out? Or?
So that fizzled out after, as I say, it was a good couple of months. And at the time I was at Inch, and in that summer I signed for Colney Park.
Yeah.
Who, I think I was 15 when I signed for them, and I was in the 16s again, and that was the A League. So we were a very good squad with guys like Craig McEwen.
Oh yeah.
Guy Kenny Tawes, who played at Dunfermline.
Did they have a link with locals at that point?
No. Well, they maybe did.
But not.
It was Colney. They probably did have a link, to be fair.
Yeah.
But at that point it was just pure Colney. There wasn't any chat about going to like train with the locals or that.
Yeah.
It's like from that Colney team, there was a good few of us went on and got our pro contracts from it.
Yeah.
I think me, Craig and Kenny went up to Cali for a trial.
Right, yeah.
I got a deal up there, a 2-year deal. And then Kenny and Craig didn't, but they went to Dunfermline and got a deal.
Right, okay.
So we've done, Colney must have had something, because it was them who organised the trials for us.
Okay.
So that, again, was probably one of the better memories of football, playing that team. We won the A-League, which I think at that point, like, Middlefielder Lads Club was probably always winning it.
Okay.
And Colney won it. We were with an unbelievable team, to be fair. Really good team. And again, at that age, 15, absolutely just flying, to be fair. I think I was playing centre mid at the time. And
just wanting to play football constantly. Yeah.
Just flying, so it was good.
So in your own words, you've got that you were a scuddy for 2 years.
Yeah.
At Cali.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you enjoy it? Was it good at the time? Was it one of those?
Yeah. Oh, it was. Yeah. I still look back on that. I was 16 years old and I signed a full-time contract. It was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Moving up to Inverness?
Moved up to Inverness, yeah. So they moved us into Diggs. Moved us in with a couple.
At what, 16?
Yeah. But we were in with, it was basically a family we got moved in with.
Right, okay.
So we got moved in with, actually I think it was Ross Toakley's in-laws.
Okay.
They often took in young players.
Looked after us,
feed us, do our washing.
So good family
like
you were with?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah. It was brilliant. But that whole 2 years, like I say, I was a scuddy. We were a scuddy. Like, those were, like, I sound like a fucking old man. I am an old man. But back then, like, there wasn't really an under-18 league. So we went straight into the first team.
Right, okay.
16 years old, straight into the first team. But you would train all through the week, just in the morning, go in, but we'd have to go in early, clean the boots, wash the changing rooms, get the tees ready,
proper jobs,
get the balls ready, get the bibs ready, all that stuff. We would do all that, but there was four of us that signed at the same time as me. I think there was four in the year after us.
Okay.
So there was eight of us, and we were in, we got the away changing room to ourselves, and honestly, the fucking laugh that we had, it was unbelievable. But as I say, that was a difficult one, because looking back now, if we'd went up and probably had an under-18s team, we'd have probably done all right. And like, I'd have probably progressed a bit more. Going in at that age to train with the first team, I was miles off it.
Yeah, okay.
I went in, I think, my first 3 weeks, I broke my foot in pre-season because my body wasn't able to cope.
Right.
I wasn't physically well enough to train with the first team, do a first team pre-season.
Yeah.
And it probably hampered me a little bit, but the 2 years was unbelievable. Like, the second season, we did actually have an 18s team, and we went down to Murray Park. We beat Rangers down at Murray Park in the Scottish Youth Cup quarterfinals. And then we played Aberdeen at Pittodrie and we beat 3-1. But I think, again, I've got photos of that day at Pittodrie. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Even that Murray Park and playing at Pittodrie, it was just unbelievable. It was, as I say, when you're growing up, it's all you want to do.
Yeah.
It's all you want to do is play football and play football at a decent level, like even wear a professional strip.
Yeah.
Things like that are fucking massive. And I look back and absolutely zero regrets. Look back and think I was just lucky to live that life for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It was absolutely brilliant, mate.
Do you think that, you see, like the jobs and stuff, it's kind of gone from football now? You've obviously been in a position where you've done all that sort of stuff. You've probably grafted for 2-3 hours before you kicked the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that help growing up?
I personally think so.
I think so as well.
I'm probably part of the older school kind of mentality.
Because now it's gone, jobs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, like, as I say, I watch quite a few games in the Highland League, and the league's so, so different from even when I stopped fucking 3 years ago. It's a different league. The guys are different. Their mentality is different. Not in a bad way, but growing up, getting, like, I just think there's sometimes a lack of respect for some of the younger boys nowadays. Like, they expect to just go and train, not pick anything up and just disappear.
Yeah.
It's like, no, fucking knock your pan in. Learn the trade. Learn how to do all these scuddy jobs that nobody wants to do, but it will stand you in good stead moving into your life for all aspects of life.
Yeah, yeah.
It just teaches you a bit of respect for
Did you have to do that after training as well?
Yeah.
So it was like after clean up and wash up and all that?
Yeah, yeah. We were, as I say, going and mop the changing rooms because the first team would just leave it in an absolute shambles. They wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And then we'd have to go in, mop the showers, do all that.
It's kind of like earning your place to be.
Yeah.
You earn your role to sit about and do nothing.
Slave labour. I was on about fucking 100 quid a week or something. It was absolute. It was slave labour. You wouldn't get away with it nowadays. But no, it was excellent. I had a couple of loan moves in that time. Highland League loan moves. So it was good. Like 16-year-old. I was out with Huntley. So I was playing at Huntley at 16. Played at Barora when I was 16, so it was good.
Yeah.
Good early standing in men's football, really.
Yeah.
Kind of get you made up for it. But no, it was a really good couple of years. Got to play with some unbelievable players, to be fair. So,
in the end of that 2 years, you signed for your hometown?
Yeah.
Huntley.
As I say, I think I got released at 18. It was on the cards. I got injured again. Shock. I feel like I was got injured. But actually, going through my career, I wasn't too bad, but I'd done my cartilage about 3 months before my contract was due to, and again, that's not an excuse. I wasn't good enough. Simple as that.
Yeah.
I wasn't good enough to be a full-time footballer. And the logical thing was to come back and play for Huntley. Like, I was from Huntley. My parents, well, my dad still lived in Huntley, and I was moving back with him. So we just went and done a pre-season with them and signed for Huntley. And
who was the manager at that point?
Billy Anderson.
Okay.
So Stuart Anderson's dad.
Right, okay.
I was, again, unbelievable. Such a good manager. One of the best I had. Really, really good manager. Good squad. We had such a, like, random mismatch of players.
Was
like
it?
Boys for juniors. Boys that probably had a bit of a point to prove.
Yeah.
But that team went on to win the league.
Was Thayers there at that point?
No.
Was that pre-Thayers? It was nice and quiet in Huntley at that point.
Yeah, it was. Huntley's never been the same since Thayers signed. He's going to have a statue outside of Huntley when he leaves, I would imagine. But no, that was, as I say, winning the league there with your hometown team, with your best mates. Like, there was a couple of, there was like me, Russell Guild, who's local, Gordon Farmer, Ross Bremner, like boys that grew up going to school, not seen Huntley win the league since, I think it was 1996, and then we won it again. So it was unbelievable.
How was that, like, before we got into like winning the league and stuff? How was that playing regularly as an 18-year-old? Did you find it tough, or did you have that little kind of era swagger?
Yeah. I think it was Jerry O'Driscoll on a podcast, and I remember listening to it and him saying, I remember the boy McGowan coming in. I'm sure he had like blonde highlights or something, white boots, and he came in and he could play. He had a bit of confidence, but he needed to get like brought down to earth in the Highland League, basically.
Yeah.
And it was perfect for me. Like, I just got in and got blutered all over the shop. But
it
I had a swagger. Like, yeah. I came back from Cali at that point. And as I say, I remember we played Cali actually in a pre-season game. And I ran the show. I was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Such a good game. And they were genuinely like, because it was, at that point, it was John Robertson and Dan Park. No, not Dan Park. John Park, I've reminded. Can't remember his name. Anyway, they were the gaffers, and they said after it, they were like, fucking hell. They were like, you certainly didn't do that when you were here.
Yeah.
I was like, aye. It's easy, though, to do it when you kind of move away from it, don't you? So,
see, like, as your career went on, were you that sort of boy? Like, see, when you played teams where you'd maybe been sold or it wasn't great, did you kind of play with that air of, I'm going to stick it up you today? Or
100%.
Was that always in your
100%.
Head?
100%. Any Scottish Cup game, any game against a higher level, that was when I felt I was at my best.
Yeah.
Just, I remember we beat Peterhead in the Scottish Cup, went down to Berwick, who were a league team at the time, and like ran them so close and honestly playing out of our skins.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. As I say, at that age, that probably from 18 to before I moved to Australia when I was like 26, I was just, I had this raw confidence about me that,
yeah,
I had something. I just grew and grew and grew, got bigger, got stronger, and just I just had a good couple of years.
How was it winning the league? Unreal.
Oh.
So how old would you have been at that point when you won the league?
I must have been 21, I think. 20 or 21.
Okay.
Still quite 21, I think. Still quite young. And it was, I think it was in the second last day of the season. Richie Taylor, we're playing Fraserburgh, and I think we only needed a point, and we were 2-1 down.
Yeah.
And boy, Richie Taylor scored in the 93rd minute to win the league, and I am not, the elation, I've never felt anything like it.
Unreal.
It was the days after it as well, just like literally going on to about Wednesday, not leaving the pub. As I say, we're genuinely your mates.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just won the league, and it was so like, we were really not expected to win that league.
Yeah.
It was like, no danger, they'll win it, they'll fall apart. Fall away.
Fall apart at some point.
And we ended up winning it. So it's one of the happiest memories, definitely, 100%.
Young player of the season, same year?
Yes. So the year we won the league, we got Highland League Young Player of the Year, which was, again, a decent accolade because there was a lot of good young players at that time.
Yeah.
But I'd had a decent, I can't even remember like stats or anything, but I think I'd had a decent season. And the season after that, I had a really good start to the season. I think I was playing left wing at that point and started the next season, like, I think 10 goals in the first 10 games, and that's kind of where the next move came. So I went to Peterhead after that.
Peterhead, how was that?
So at that point, I was still probably quite keen to explore full-time football.
Right.
I was an apprentice joiner at the time, and Peterhead showed an interest really early in the season, and it was a really difficult one because I was still loving it at Huntley.
Yeah.
I wasn't, by any stretch of the imagination, wanting to leave. But Peterhead came in, and I think I played a trial game again. And I think I scored. And again, they came in and offered Huntley to sign me, and I signed a 2.5-year deal. It was Steve Patterson again. So Pelly signed me for Cali, and signed me for Peterhead. So I signed a 2.5-year deal, but I think I only lasted 8 months.
Just wasn't for you?
No. I went, and I started the first 8 games. And I loved it. It was, again, it was back to what I thought. And at that stage, Peterhead were in the second division. I think there were still 3 divisions and they were in the second, but they were potentially looking to go full time at that point.
Right, okay.
And looked really pushed to go up the divisions. They had a bit of money at the time. And I was like, this is perfect. Young guy, go back there. I might get back into full time football this way. And as I say, it started well, but I soon realised, like, travelling down to like Ayr, travelling down to Stirling, I started to realise that I missed kind of being a big fish at Huntley.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed that. Maybe my ego enjoyed it more, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The Peterhead thing, as I say, it lasted 8 months and I just got to a point, I was just like, nah, I'm not really enjoying it. It's not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Pelly and he was like, nah, no worries at all. And as I say, he was like, look, we can sell you back to Huntley. I think Bucky had come in for me. There's a few teams had come in, and I just think out of loyalty, I suppose, I went back to Huntley, but it probably wasn't the right thing to do.
No, I was going to ask that. Was it
I think at that point, Dave Cormie was the manager. And he's another great manager, to be fair.
Yeah.
What a respect for Dave. He's a great guy and a good manager. But when I went back, something wasn't right. I don't think we were doing nearly as well as what we were.
Similar team, or?
There'd been a few boys moved on, a few boys had come in. And as I say, I just came in and I'm just unsure. Just didn't really. I always think sometimes if you go back to somewhere too soon, it can either go one or two ways.
Yeah,
For me, it didn't really go great. And as I say, that's kind of where it ended. And I ended up having another move quite early in my career onto Devon Vale. Yeah. So
how long were you on there the second
time? I think I was back for, timelines are terrible, my memory is absolutely shocking, but I think I was back for a year and a half. It must have been a year and a half, because I signed for Vale when I was 23.
Okay.
Me and the guy Mikey Ewan were a swap deal. He was at Vale, he came to Huntley.
Right, okay.
And I went there, and that ended up being a fucking unbelievable move.
Was it good?
Yeah. So, Billy Anderson's son, Scott Anderson,
yeah,
he was the manager.
Okay.
Him and Stuart Glennie. And it was a great team as well. We had guys like Mike McKenzie.
Oh, Big Mike, yeah.
Graham Watt was flying at the time. We had Yogi Pollocker, Brian Deglonsky, really good Highland League players, really, really good Highland League players. Kenny Gilbert was there. He'd left Ross County and he'd came to Vale, and solid players. And we'd had, again, some really, really good seasons there. I genuinely think the three seasons I was there, we came second three times in a row.
Jesus. How was that as a club to pay for?
Brilliant. Yeah, well-run club. Good facilities, good fans in that. Really enjoyed it. But I went through a bit of a turbulent spell there. I think I got sent off. It was honestly a really bad spell. And I think it was against Bucky. I think we played Bucky back-to-back or three times in 4 weeks or something. It was a Scottish Cup game, a cup game and a league game.
Right.
And I got sent off three times in a row against them.
Jesus.
They just knew how to wind them up.
Did they?
And I just, that's what I'm saying, it's easy to look back now and think, see if that was me now and I had those outbursts.
Yeah.
I would want someone to fucking huckle me and tell me, right, you need to go and speak to someone because
tune in.
What is going on? There's obviously something going on inside you that you've got this anger that you can't control. You've got this something that you don't know how to release. And it got to a point where I was playing every week for Vale, I was scoring, I was doing really well. But he was like, look, we were going to have to look at this because you're getting sent off far too often.
Was it for reactions?
Yeah, ridiculous reactions though. God, there was one at Princess Royal Park where it was literally, I swear to God, the first minute of the game. And the ball came into the box and I took a touch. And I thought the defender was going to smash me. And as I've taken a touch, I've went down expecting him to go through me.
Yeah.
But he didn't go through me. And he's like, come up to me and being like, you die. And I've just went wallop. And I stuck a hit in him. And I'm like, I've just instantly thought, what the fuck have I just done? What am I doing? And I was just like, oh my God. Just walked off. And then again, 2 weeks later, it was a guy, Kevin Small. This was later on in the game. And it was about the last 4 minutes. And again, he's done something. He's really done me off the ball or something.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, no word of a lie, I just ran up and clocked them. And I was just like, what am I? And I couldn't help myself. I just didn't know how to, channel my aggression.
Yeah.
But it was playing into fucking everyone's hands.
Yeah.
Everyone knew, I'll just wind them up, you'll fucking snap, you'll go and do something.
I was about to say that. See, the way you played, obviously, on the edge a little bit, fans must have given you absolute dogs.
Oh, Jesus. But I loved it.
Did you play off it, did you?
That's probably again when you were asking before about when you were at your best, it was when fans were giving you dogs abuse. But it was banter with the fans. I would always fucking bare my arse or give them the fingers, just generally just to wind them up.
Yeah.
And they would shout at me more and then I would score and go and
celebrate.
It was good, but as I say, I think if I went out in some of these places just now I'd get my head to play with. So it wouldn't be good. But as I say, it was just a young daft boy, to be fair.
So a good few years at Vale and then out to Australia.
Yes.
Oof, what a lifestyle that is.
Yeah, it was, as I say, I've been fucking so lucky.
Bet you didn't struggle for bread in Australia, young man. Not a problem at all for you.
Well, we'll leave that for another story. But no, it was. So the story when we go to Australia, me and the guy Michele Lombardi, we were actually not going out together, but he was going to Australia as well. And we were both playing for Vale.
Oh, he was at Aberdeen, wasn't he?
Yeah. So we were, this was my third season at Vale, and there was 3 months of the season to go. It was the February or March, and me and Michele both said we were leaving for Australia. And we were playing at that time, we were flying. I think we were like 6 points clear of Bucky.
And like top of the league. League was on.
And I think if we stayed, we would have had a great chance. But it went to the, so me and Michele left for Australia. It went to the final day and they got beaten the final day.
Oh,
came second again. So I don't think I was ever forgiven for that. So that's another
were
one.
You
I can't afford, I can't go to Banff anymore. I'd get railroaded out of Banff if I went back there. But, it was, again, one of these things like, at 26, I don't have kids. I don't have, like, I had no ties.
Yeah.
I was like, why not? Like, the opportunity to go to Australia, like, not everyone gets that chance.
Yeah. Was that to work or just to play football?
No, it was to play. So, as I say, it's from the years of when I was at Cali. Guy Robbie Taylor was a goalkeeper at Cali when he was younger, and he'd moved out to Australia, and he was playing for a team, and he'd literally messaged me being like, do you want to come out and play, guys? And I was like, aye, well, it sounds good, but it can't just be as easy as that. And he's not. He's like, no, literally. He's like, you'll get your flights, you'll get accommodation, you'll get a job, you'll get a match payment every week. And I was like, nah, surely not. And like, spoke to this guy over email. Didn't even have to like prove my ability or anything. Obviously, Robbie had vouched for me, and within like 2 weeks, a flight was booked for me. Flew out to Melbourne. So it was.
How was the standard over there?
It was decent. What they done, so over there it was like a regional league, and it was a team called Shepparton that I played for, and every team or every top team, there was like four top teams, would have overseas players.
Right, okay.
So there would be players from England, there would be players from Wales, Ireland and Scotland that would be like their ringers. They would have three imports, they would call them. So the standard at that side was good. The locals were okay. It probably, in fact, it definitely wasn't Highland League standard.
Yeah,
it was lower than that, but I honestly couldn't care. It was, I went out there, picked fruit on a farm, played football, got paid, got smashed every weekend, and lived in the sun for 2 years. It was, it's something I'll never, ever not look back on and smile. It was an absolutely amazing time. And yeah, it was, I still think to this day, like, I actually had the chance to get sponsored and stay.
Stay over there.
But I was quite keen to come back. I went out when I was 26, came back when I was 28, but it was an unbelievable 2 years. Like, got to tour about Australia, got to see Sydney, Melbourne, Queensland. It was, Perth. Was
the game different from over there than it is here? Like, obviously here, Highland League's a lot of second balls and physical, who can run, who can tackle, who can head.
No, it was similar.
Was it similar sort of football over there, was it?
You've got to remember, like, our pre-season over there was in January, and it was like 40 degrees. I remember going over and thinking,
chance, mate. Like, I'm fat and ginger, I'd die over there.
You'd be in the shade. But it was really difficult to get on board with for a start.
Yeah.
Like, going over there and like being used to like running about in -5 with 20 layers of clothing on, you go out there and you're literally dying. It's like 40 degrees.
My top was never on, was it?
Oh, mate.
Let's be honest.
Mate, I need your top on in Australia. Just get in the gym, get out, and get taps off. But no, it was the people over there, like, Australians are good people, eh?
Yeah.
Really nice. So it was me and actually the guy Dean Cowie. We moved into an apartment together.
Oof.
Anyone who knows Dean,
Dean's a riot.
He's a riot of a boy. So the two of us in an apartment, it was what I. That's what I'm saying. Like, turned into fucking proper druths. Like,
if we always,
like,
out.
Finished a game on a Sunday, we'd be like, go out on the Sunday. If it was like a bank holiday, you just go out on the Monday, go out on the Tuesday, like, get up and just like eat McDonald's and like get back on the beers and that. And I was like, kind of, it's not sustainable, that.
Yeah,
you kind of do that. But the club, it was different as well. Like, on a Thursday nights, we trained on a Thursday night, but like the senior men's would train, the reserves would train, the under 18 boys would train, the ladies team would train,
right.
And then after it there was like a big family barbecue, and you'd be banging beers and that after training.
I wasn't sure you were going with the banging part.
No, just
the same in Easter
season. No, but more, that's what I'm saying. It's so different. So like over here, you train, you maybe go have a warm down, go do a protein shake, get some good food into you or something.
Yeah.
Over there, you're having a burger and having a beer. It was just, it was unbelievable, to be fair. Really, really good.
What was the, see over there, I said this to Stephen Laird before, because he was Scottish guy, played in England. Please tell me when you were playing over there, you milked fuck out of the Scottish accent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Growling at folk and that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think this anywhere, though. I think Scottish get well received anywhere.
Yeah, apart from everyone England. Knows Scottish people.
Apart from England, maybe.
England, yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
If you go anywhere abroad and you speak Scottish, I think it always goes down
people
well.
People love it.
Yeah, and Australia was no different. There was, yeah, Australian good-looking women over there as well. Really good-looking women. So, it was good, mate. It was a really good... I've honestly wondered if one day I'll go back, maybe when I'm a bit older, maybe retire out in Oz, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. As I say, the people are just really... It's a better way of life.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's a little bit more relaxed. It's... Yeah, the weather makes a hell of a difference.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a possibility.
So once you were done in Turniff, you chose another hot destination. Once you were finished in Australia, you chose Turniff of all places.
Yeah, I think
similar heat.
Similar heat. I just thought no. So I was, as I say, I was 28, and I decided I was coming home, and I was actually in a brilliant position because I was a free agent.
Aye, so and I could pick a team. Basically,
I could have probably went anywhere. And Turniff at the time were trying to build a team that would challenge, and they'd had a good few players and. It just felt right. It's hard to sometimes describe.
Who was the gaffer at that point?
Mark Simpson and
the centre half.
Aye, and James Baxter. So the boy Duthie, he's now the assistant at Brough.
Yeah,
and I ended up still got to speak to him to this day. Got on really, really well with him, but went there and again, what a club! What a club! What a club! What a setup! People around it, such good people. I think I scored. Came back, flew home on the Friday night, 24-hour flight, played on the Saturday, scored two, and then I think I got injured on the Monday because my body was just absolutely rolling. I probably shouldn't have played. Like, after flying for that amount of time, your body's just not very keen to do much, but ended up playing, doing well. But we had, as I say, really good side there. We ended up winning, we won the Aberdeenshire Shield. Again, came second in the league.
In the league.
I think that was my second or third season. We ran Brora. I think Turriff, we ended up with like 90-odd points.
Jesus.
And Brora were like 110 or something. Something wild, but
that Andy was the... ballers in that team?
Oh, Jesus. Unbelievable. Andy McCaskill, who's now at Bucky.
Yeah, very good
footballer. Andy's probably, in my opinion, one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
He's absolutely outstanding. With a guy, Aaron McKenna, who... was an unknown quantity. I think he came up from like England, and by that time we had Ross Jack as a manager.
Right.
And we signed this guy, Aaron McKenna, and I am not joking you, I've never seen a player like him. He was frightening.
Unreal.
Aye. In fact, he was playing for Aberdeen Uni. That's who he was playing for.
Oh, and he got spotted there.
And he came up and played for Turriff, and I swear to God, he was frighteningly good. But we had him, we had Stuart Cumming.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was still a very good player at that time, with Gary Harris, Nick Gray. We had Paul Young, who's at Fraserburgh now, Lewis Davidson, who's at Fraserburgh. Just a really good team.
Yeah.
Kevin Mayne was in goals.
Oh, yeah.
It was a strong, strong team. And, we had, as I say, we had a pretty successful team. For I think that's probably, 100%, that's Turriff's most successful time in the Highland League. And,
yeah.
It was a very good couple of years there.
Big question for you. What was heavier on the booze, the Australian team you played for or some of the Highland League teams?
Definitely my first Huntley experience. Like that boy Richie Taylor that I said that scored the goal to win the league, he's probably ended a few boys' lives. Honestly, I swear to God.
Or managers.
Aye, probably both. Like there's he could see when like you just get somebody who can drink, this boy could fucking drink. And I am not joking you, like we'd be playing in Brora and by like literally 10 minutes out of Brora, he would have like ended boys. They'd be absolutely smashed. He would play like fucking stupid, higher or lower with cards, and just like if you get a drum down like fucking a big gulp of whiskey or vodka, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like not normal. So I definitely, that's another thing I didn't touch on, but that Highland League time, like, I think it's, I don't know what it's like now because I'm not in it, but it was such a good social side of it.
I think it's really different from the people I've interviewed, your thiers and stuff that. And Alan Hill, I think it's changed now completely.
Yeah, it was, we would literally go out every weekend together.
Yeah.
We were like really close, good mates, go out every Saturday night, whether it was a home game, away game, and it was just what you did.
Yeah.
We'd just done it together and it made us very good together.
Yeah.
Because we'd go out together, we'd argue together, we'd scrap together, yeah, and then we'd go and play together and you'd train together. And it made a massive difference. But as I say, I think nowadays it is slightly different.
I think it is because I wasn't obviously involved back then, but even now, I've been at Huntley for 3 years and I reckon one hand the amount of times I've been on a bus trip that's been
wild. Yeah.
It's probably less than five.
Yeah, that's what I say nowadays though. Like younger boys, they're mad into gym, which is great. Like, I can't say nothing, I'm massive into the gym now. Like, I love it. But these boys, like, if they don't play, they'll go knock in a 5K or they'll go do something. Fucking fair play to them.
Yeah.
Like, fair play to them. Granted, it's a Highland League, but fair play to them. They're trying to better themselves, which you can only admire, you know what I mean? But it is a different time. I think your older boys in the squad would be like, right, come on, boys.
Yeah. But what's mad is, like, back when it was meant to be, Highland League was meant to be nuts for boozing. That's when the quality was apparently the highest.
Yeah.
Because you talk to a couple of older fans now. My uncle's been at Harlaw Locos since I was a kid. And he harps on about the quality is now is nowhere near what it used to be. But then I think back, everyone used to get shit-faced all the time.
Yeah. How is
the quality so good when everyone was blurred?
It is a strange thing to ask, actually, because I don't really compare what it was when I played to what it is now. Like, I think they're decent. I think there's qualities in both.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, what I've noticed now, there's probably less older heads in the teams nowadays. Like, when we were playing, like, when I was a younger boy at Huntley, you had, like, your Tommy Wilsons at Locos.
Yeah.
You had boys at Fraserburgh, like, your Derek Milnes, who were I'm talking proper players here.
Yeah.
Like, boys that would fucking run through brick walls, like solid players. And I just think now it's a younger league, which again is a good thing because these boys will grow into great players.
Yeah.
But it's just a slightly different time. But as I say, it just worked out. It could be the togetherness.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it's like now in changing rooms if the younger boys stay away and if older boys stay in one corner. But with that back then, everyone was just integrated. You were just literally one squad of boys, which was brilliant, to be fair.
So how long were you at Tariffa altogether?
3 years. Yeah, 3 years. So I think I signed a 3-year deal when I went back. And in my third season, I'd gotten quite scunner out of the travelling because I lived in Aberdeen.
Okay.
And travelling to Tariffa, it's...
Both nights when you're up Tariffa.
Yeah, it's not the closest. And again, I'd never really done it, but I was like, I'm out of contract in the summer. I could probably get a decent move here.
Yeah.
So I told Tariff that I wasn't signing a new deal. And in the January, I'd signed a pre-contract with Locos.
Okay.
But at the time, so I was 31. And at the time, I was actually injured at Tariff. And I'd signed with Locos. And I'll be like, yeah, I'll be fine come that time. And the end of that season, like the 6 months went by and I hadn't kicked a ball. And it was my Achilles and there was something just not right. And I remember thinking, fuck me, I might be going to Locos, like, what's going on here? And as I say, it went on and on and on. Then I went and got a scan and I needed an operation. I was going to be out for a year from the operation.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, so I just ended up speaking to Locos and ripping the pre-contract up. And that's, it's quite funny, like, we'll go on and talk about it, but I think I retired about 600 times in my career.
Yeah.
But that was the first time. I was 31. And I was like, do you know what? It might just be my time. I'm away to get an operation. I don't know if I'll manage to come back.
Yeah.
And that was it. I was kind of like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I'm out of contract. I'm just going to leave it. And then from then, Huntley came back in.
Yeah. Okay.
And obviously, Doc Carter was still involved then. And he said, look, we'll help you out. Like, you're only 31. We think you'll bounce back from the operation. So they signed me.
When you were injured, whilst you were injured?
Whilst I was injured, before the operation.
Oh, which is,
again, a big, it's a big thing to do, and they helped me out with the operation, put me down to the guy Gordon Mackay down in Glasgow, which basically halved my recovery time. I was going to get it done in NHS, and it would have been a year, but they put me down to the guy Gordon Mackay, got the operation done, and to be fair, I was back playing within 6 months of it, so it worked out.
6 months, is that what it was?
6 months, aye, from getting my Achilles detached and reattached, getting a bit of bone shaved off, I was back in 6 months. I wish I could say that now, because I've just had the other one done in a year ago, and I still walking
problems.
That's age, though. It's just one of these things. But
so when you went back to Huntley, this is my favourite team. That was your Blair Johnsons.
Yeah, that was
Doyers.
That was the OGs. That was the good boys. So it was Dougie Baxter, actually. It was the manager at the time.
Yeah.
Dougie and Mark Gray, and I went back. And
so was this the first time that you'd played with Flyers at this point? Properly?
Yes.
Oof.
And in the seasons before, when I was at Turriff, there's a fucking great photo of me and Thoyers, like, literally away to kill each other. Literally, it's such a good photo. I was playing for Turriff at Huntley, and I think we won 3. I think we pumped them. And, like, there's a photo of me, like, my middle finger up to the fans. And then there's a photo of me and Thoyers, like, both with, like, veins popping out of our heads, like, inches away from each other's face. And we'll always look back and think, fuck me, we were honestly a pair of fannies. But, yeah, that was the first time I'd actually played in this team. So, but that, as I say, like, all the boys I've just mentioned, like, Blair, Boother was there at the time, Thoyers and all that. Really good boys
good
again.
Team.
Good boys. I say that a
but
lot.
But you had a good team, though, no?
Yeah, so over that couple of years, we did. Andy Roddy and Tommy Wilson came in.
Yeah, that was a good season.
We were flying under them until they left. But we had decent boys there. And again, that was I remember it being a boozy period in my life. I remember it being a really boozy period in my life. Like, as I say.
Every game.
Yeah, yeah. Glenn Urison was there at the time. He's out in Oz now.
Yeah, Glenn's a good lad.
There was just like, we'd be going up to Xander was there. We'd be going up to your Wicks and stuff, and the buses back were they're chaos, to be fair. I remember like one of them in particular getting off in Huntley and like not being allowed into the social club of the team that you play for because I was that drunk.
You weren't allowed in?
No, I was fucking frog marched to the front. I had a bottle of wine in my hand. Absolutely, disgustingly drunk. And they're like, nah, you're not getting in. I'm like, all right, I'll just sit here with my bottle of wine like a Jakey.
Outside the club?
Aye. Outside the social club of the fucking place you play football. You're like, nah, you're not getting in. So it was a boozy few years. But no, it was a good team. It was a really good team, to be fair. But ended up Martin Skinner and Ricky Cheen.
Yeah.
They came in, and that was towards the end of my about 400th time at Huntley. I don't know how many times I was back at Huntley, but yeah, that ended quite sourly, to be fair.
What happened?
So, I always think Ricky Cheen, I would like to speak to him now, but I don't particularly think he took to me that well.
Okay.
I think there was a bit of a clash of personalities, let's just say.
Yeah.
And we were playing up at Fraserburgh, and we got absolutely scudded. I think it was 6 or 7-0. And it was a bad, bad day. It was like a cold fucking January or February or something, and we got pumped.
Yeah, that's not nice.
And we'd come in after the game, and Michael Clark, who I've spoke to him about this before, so it's all right, I can slaughter him here. But he'd had a fucking beast. He was minging. He'd given away probably about 4 goals. And by the way, I watched him a few times this season. He's flying.
Yeah, he's good. Good player.
Doing really, really well. So I just wanted to put that in before I slaughter him. But he was minging. He was really, really poor. So I'm in top off, trousers off, shorts off, socks off, sitting in my scuds. And I was just like to Michael, I was like, you are fucking hopeless. You were really bad. And he was like, we weren't even arguing. We were like, he was like, yeah, I know. I was miles off it. Just having like a conversation. And Ricky Cheen came in and he'd heard me having a go at Clarkey. And as I say, let's be honest, he didn't really like me that much. I don't think I'd trained in the Wednesday or something. I think I'd like cancel training and then I played. And he just wasn't too keen on that. And he seen me having a go at Clarkey and he came in and literally lost the plot. I like started screaming at me.
And you're in your scuddies at this point.
I'm sitting in my fucking tighty whities. Just sitting there, and I'm just like, what?
Not many photos of you in your pants.
You don't know what I see. It's nothing too impressive. And I've flipped.
lost it.
I've flipped and I've like tried to jump up and jump over the table and crack him. And like Thoyers is holding me back and like somebody's holding him back. And it's gone on for like 10 minutes. Jeez. We're like screaming at each other, like literally wanting to kill each other.
Yeah.
And it's just went on and on and on. It finally calmed down. And I've just been fucking like left it there. And I was like, I cannot play for that ever again. And
was
to be fair,
was that you done after that?
That was literally my last game. And to this day, though, like I think me and Ricky would still sit and speak to each other and be like, yeah, these things happen. Like it probably could have been blown over. If I'm being honest, between me and you, I probably seen it as a good way to get my last move.
Yeah.
Last decent move, because I was still doing well. I was scoring a lot of goals. And I was like, one, I think that relationship was done. Like yeah. It was a really fractured relationship. And I was like, I do feel I've got something in me. I do feel I've got a move in me. And again, that's what it transpired. I got a move to Fort Martin.
Before we got to that, we've seen obviously the fight you had with there. Was there more than that in your career? Did you have a few?
Not so much fights. Definitely.
Parties.
Definitely more getting like taken into manager's office. Like,
okay.
When I was younger at Huntley, I think I must have been about 20 or something. And there was a cheese and wine night at the Stewart's Hall in Huntley, and all the players were there. We had a table, and we were, again, young boys, pretty drunk. And I've went to go to the toilet, and I think there's a queue for the man's toilets, and I've went into the women's toilets. And like, there's a couple of like, let's just say older women,
yeah,
probably in their 50s, 60s, and I've got the helicopter out, and I'm giving it the helicopter. And honestly, I swear to God, I genuinely thought I was going to get lifted. Like they were fucking, I thought they would have taken it as a bit of a, they were furious, absolutely furious. And again, I got fucking frog marched into the gaffer's office on the Monday with the captain, Gildy, at the time. Oh, Gildy's Jesus. Trying to keep a straight face because he's my best mate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's just like fucking sitting there trying to hold in the laughs. And he's like, Magoo, like you can't do that. Like Billy wound me up though. He was like, I'd have reported you to the police. I'm like, what for, fucking get my todger out? And they're like, ah, it's indecent exposure. And he was winding him up, but it didn't come to nothing. But that was one. And then the sending off just with Scotty at Vale, he was just like, as I say, they probably just were looking out for me and just wanting me to like rein me in a little bit. But
did you see any other bad ones with teammates or anything? Was there any big scraps for changing?
It's worth. Cali.
Oh, did you when see I was some at big Cali, ones there?
Oh, yeah. An absolute cracker. So I don't know if I should say this, but Spider, so Bucky manager.
I
now,
love Spider.
Again, God's honest truth, him and Ross Stokely, bollock naked.
Scrapping.
In the changing room, full on fucking cracking each other. It was fucking brilliant. I mean, honestly, see if there was camera phones back then,
yeah,
this would have went viral. The two of them like slipping about ice. They'd been in the shower like soaking wet, probably fell out and fucking cracking each other, run, and honestly, everyone in the changing room, nobody's stopping it.
Just let it go.
Everyone's like, aye, fucking crack on. It was honestly the funniest thing I've ever seen. Two naked men absolutely thrilling.
I love Spider.
Aye, he's a topper of a boy. Topper of a boy.
Before we move on, I'm just going to give him some recognition. We've mentioned him a few times in the pod already. Thoyers is an unbelievable teammate.
Oh yeah,
must be one of the best you've been involved with.
Yeah, 100%. You see him now, like at the club. Like you don't stay at a club that long if you don't have something.
Nah.
If you don't have one loyalty, two desire and discipline to keep showing up.
Yeah.
Like to go through how many managers he went through, and he's still at the club.
Yeah.
I think that speaks for itself. And he's the kind of boy, you know what he's like, he'd run through a brick wall for anyone.
That's the thing, that's kind of where I'm going with it, because he's been brought up in a few of my pods, and it's always for funny things like getting pissed or getting naked in the bus and that. But I don't think people realise just how classy he is as a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime, I'm obviously just who I am as a person, I'm always laughing, joking. Anytime I'm quiet, Thoyer spots it in my love.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the first person with the arm around the shoulder being like, you all right?
Yeah, yeah. No,
just
that's
proper good teammate.
Yeah, just a decent guy. That's what you mean though, a decent guy.
Yeah.
Just a good human being. And he is, he's, like you say, it's, you can look at, speak about Thoyer and you'll think, all the mad stories. Yeah, but just, again, he's a decent boy. And as I say, it's not easy to be at a club for that long.
No.
To go through all that different managers. So no, it's absolutely.
So they moved to Fermartin. How did that come about?
Who's it? Lost, Paul Lawson was a manager.
So did they hear about the argument, or were you just...
I went on the transfer list.
Aye, okay.
So I went on the transfer list and it happened pretty quickly, actually.
Did it?
Signed for Fort Martin.
Did you not sign for Fort Martin the same day as Jordan Lane?
Yeah. The two of us signed, I think he signed to the Locals, was it?
Yeah, Locals, yeah. Because I think Ryan Stott went to Locals.
That could be right, yep.
So was yours just a transfer?
Yeah, straight transfer. So they bought me, I think I signed a 2-year deal. And I was 33 or 34 at the time. So it was a very good deal. It was 33 and I'd signed a 2-year deal. So it was a decent deal for me at that time. Fort Martin were one of the top teams, pretty underachieving, but a fucking unbelievable squad, to be fair.
Was it a good team, was it?
Yeah, very good team.
Who was the kind of big dogs there?
Like, so Craig McEwen, they had Stuart Anderson was still playing, who's a gaffer. He was unbelievable. Andrew Gregg, the winger.
Was it Chubbs?
Yeah. Connor Gethins. Archie McPhee was there at the time. Like, good squad.
Yeah, that's
like
a good team. That.
Really good squad, so... That was good, and it started really, really well. Scored a hat-trick in my debut.
Nice.
And as I say, I went there feeling that I had a point to prove and feeling like I still had a good few years in me. It was a good couple of years. But it was a strange one because I'd probably never been a sub in my whole career. Like, I'd always played in Fort Martin at that age, 33, 34. That was the first time like I'd experienced maybe playing for two games, sitting out one.
Right.
And Loss, to be fair, was decent with me. He was like, look, you might feel like you're still as fit as you were when you're 20, but you do have to watch your body a little bit more when you're older. And it was a strange one. I didn't play every week, and it kind of frustrated me.
Did that bother you a bit?
That's the first point. We're probably touching it over the coming kind of chat, but like, that's the first kind of time around about the age of 34 to 37 where I had a pretty turbulent time with football where I really, really struggled with like not really enjoying it, not really wanting to play, but thinking, well, you're still fit enough, you still should play.
Yeah.
It was a fucking chaos in my head for a couple of years, if I'm honest. So as I say, I lasted 2 years and then I'd taken on a degree.
Yeah.
As well as working full-time, doing a full-time degree and playing football, and it was just too much.
Yeah.
It was just, as I say, I've never had pressure like it on my shoulders and I struggled with it. And I spoke to Loss after, I think it was the second, I think I was in, I can't remember if I was in the second season, I think I was. And I just says, look, I'm going to have to can it. I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
I'm really struggling. Like the degree, again, it's probably something I thought about. I was like, could I fucking pay the degree off? And I was like, nah, that's going to help me in the longevity of my life and the career that I'm in now. Football's been my life, so I was like, I'm gonna have, like, something has to give.
Yeah.
And football was the one, but yeah, it was.
Because you've got in your notes here around about that time that you were growing up as such.
Yeah.
You reckon that was that what you meant by going to doing the degree and just trying?
Yeah, just trying to do something slightly different. Like, as I say, football's all I've ever really known, and as I say, most people as they grow up, as they get older, they do mature a little bit and they grow up. And I just kind of got to that point of thinking, as I say, making a decision like that about, well, no, the degree in your work's more important than playing part-time football.
Yeah.
But it was, again, difficult because I was like, you've still got a bit in you. But yeah, it was just getting to that point. But it was, as I say, it gets probably got more turbulent over the next few years about kind of dipping back in and out of it because, again, it's probably like at the start, it's only probably over the last year, probably year and a half, last 18 months that I've fully been at peace being away from football. It took me a long time to come away from it. So yeah.
You've kind of got, it was a bit later on in the notes, but you've kind of got that there was a feeling of like being lost and anxious and changing rooms and stuff. Was that towards the end of the career?
Yes, 100%. So like.
So what do you think kind of brought that on?
Genuinely, I'd gone from being a self-employed joiner who would go to work, bang on at my radio, do my day's work and go home, and then I'd moved into site management, which was, it's a stressful job, it's not an easy job, and then I'd taken on the degree, so I was doing that full-time, and I'd just probably bitten off a little bit more than I could chew at the time,
mm-hmm.
and like finishing work really late, it's a really stressful day at work, and going to football, and genuinely sitting in a changing room thinking, I don't want to go and play. Like, I feel fucking anxious. I feel horrible. I'm like, I don't want to play.
Yeah.
And I had never in my life.
Yeah, football was sort of your comfort before, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'd never in my life felt like that. I was like, this is fucking weird. I was like, yeah. And it's difficult because, again, I'd been that confident boy my whole life. I'd been that guy that life and soul of the changing room, have a laugh with everyone. And I felt myself going into myself in changing rooms, like sitting in a corner, not wanting to talk to MD. And yeah. I was like, that's not right. You kind of, it's not you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was
but that's what I find really weird about mental health, because my mental health is obviously a lot of anxiousness and depression, which me and you spoke about on a personal level. But for me, changing rooms is where I change in a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can go into a changing room and just be goose. Like,
yeah, you could.
Everyone fucking loves me. Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, yeah.
Bear hugs and all that shit. So it's weird. Like, that's just kind of proving how weird mental health can be, because for me, going into a changing room, I can change and be just normal.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you were going into a changing room and not feeling normal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is.
So that's how mental health is.
It is. And it's great that you can do that, though. You can go in and almost be your alter ego.
Yeah, it is. It's an alter ego. It's the best way to put it.
Go in and, as I say, come out of your comfort zone and get the banter with the boys. But I don't even know how to explain it. But, like, it's like I was lost.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to explain it. Like,
you reckon that came with a little bit, like you were mentioning about the Fremantle first time you were us, sometimes you were turning up to games not knowing if you were playing.
Yes.
Not knowing if you were a sub. Do you reckon that kind of sparked it a little bit as well?
It probably did. It probably made me question myself and made me question. But again, it's, as I say, like, when you've grown up with an unfucking wavering confidence in yourself, genuinely never doubted myself in anything I've done, never, until that point, and you start thinking, fuck, am I too old for this?
Yeah.
Am I too old? Am I able? Am I capable? And I was capable.
Yeah.
But again, that's the wee voice in your head telling you, it's your ego trying to fucking trick you. So it was a really difficult time, because, as I say, football has always been a release. It's been that you've had a stressful, busy day at work. Oh, it's fine. You're going to training. You'll have banter with the boys.
Yeah.
You'll go and zing a few balls
about.
But for me, it just turned the opposite way. It was bizarre. Really strange.
So despite that, after the kind of, you went and you did your growing up, as you put it, you went to uni, you did go back into football.
Yes.
With Banks of D.
Yeah. So I'd left Fort Martin, but I was still under contract.
Right.
And Loss was like, look, we're not going to release you because you might go and play again. And if we do, we'll want to sell you, get a fee.
Yeah.
So,
which is fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was actually at the time of COVID.
Right, okay.
So when COVID started, I, like everyone went a bit fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah.
In COVID, I started running like wild distances, like, and I was really good at it. And I was getting fit and really fit. And like, I was posting all my runs in Strava. And I'd had a few messages like, "Hi, do you fancy it?" Like dangling a wee carrot here and there. And I was like, nah, I've got my degree. Like, I can't. I've decided I'm not doing it. And then Banks of D, Jamie Watt had come in and been like, look, Magoo. He's like, they were still junior at the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, this would probably be perfect for you. He was like, it's nay the Highland League, but we're still, Banks of D were fucking class. They were, look at them now. Like, they were that team then. They were unbelievable. And he was like, aye, just kind of come in and see how it goes, and kind of dangled that carrot. And I was like, ah, it might work for me. It might.
Yeah.
Why not? We'll give it a go.
Yeah.
And so Banks of D bought me from Fort Martin, and I signed for them. But again, it was COVID season. Like, there was no football.
Yeah.
And they ended up playing, like, it was basically like a fucking league just between themselves.
I think that mini league would cook you
And I was just like, that's not for me. Yeah. That's not what I signed up for. Like, I wanted to play competitive football. And it just, again, I just knew, again, I'd made that decision. I was like, oh no, what have you done? And it's one of them, you sign in. I was like, oh shit, I've done it again.
Yeah.
Like, what have I done? But to be fair, this is where I've done that as well at locals. We'll go on and talk about that. But like, I'd completely stopped and locals done it. Locals came back and said, hey, do you want to come and sign for us? And I've done it again. I went back. But these two occasions, I don't know what it is. And again, it's maybe because I've gotten older and I've probably not trusted myself or my ability as much as I used to. I've, like, with the Banks of D, like, I gave them the signing on fee back.
Yeah.
Paid every penny back.
Did you? The whole thing?
And the same with locals. Locals, the fee that they paid for me, I paid them back. Because I just got to that point in my life, I was like, I don't want people to be taking a chance on me if I'm not going to pull through for them.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's a decent thing to do. And I didn't have to do it. And I'm not doing that to say, oh, I'm fucking this hero for doing that.
Yeah.
But that's the stage of my career I was at. I really didn't believe in myself. And I was like, nah, I've got to give it back. I can't have someone like investing in me and me not being able to show up for them. So I was like, nah, give them it back. So as I say that, I think I fucking played, what did I play? One game for Bank City, I think. And
who were you, it's just clicked in my mind there. Who were you at when you were on loan at Huntley during COVID?
Yeah, sorry, that, so Bank City.
That was from Bank City, was
it? So yeah, that was probably the end of, when COVID was the tail end of it, to be fair.
Yeah.
Obviously went on loan to Huntley. I think it was only for 3 months, yeah. 3-4 months at the end of the season. But it was, that was decent as well, though. That that's what probably gave me the thought to go back to Locos, because I was like, I actually enjoyed it.
Because that was Alan and Stefan.
Yeah, Alan and Stefan, and they were fucking professional. And it was an easy one because it was comfortable. It was my hometown. And I knew I still could play.
Yeah.
And I went in and I'd done well for them. So it was an easy one. But they'd asked me to stay on the next season. But that's when I'd stopped. But it was like, I don't know, like 4 months into the season that Locos had come in, and I hadn't ran for like 4 months.
Yeah.
I'd like totally chilled out and stopped, and then I went to them. And again, that feeling of, oh, fuck. When it, again, that's another time, like being in that Locos changing room, really decent folk, really decent players, a lot of young boys though, and I just genuinely didn't feel like I fitted in. No. I had to get out of it. I had to get out of that whole kind of, the whole football scene, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it just fried my brain for too long, I think.
Because I remember that game that when I was there, it was Dumbarton away in the Scottish Cup one.
Yeah.
I remember it went to, obviously, Dumbarton away, who were, what, League One?
Yeah, yeah, they were decent.
And I remember this big pitch. It was silent because there was no fans.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember they played 4-5-1 and you were up front yourself.
Yeah.
And I'd massaged you for, what, 3-4 years before that?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd never seen you play. Went and obviously was there with Huntley, seen you play. And you came off and you just looked so dejected. And I was like, you all right? And you were like, I'm just fucked, man. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Just everything was gone. I remember seeing you on the bus afterwards, hearing about Magoo, like the party animal and that. And you were just sat maybe a row beside me.
Yeah, yeah.
Just sat there, not drinking.
Just I just.
And you kind of looked like you were just.
That's what I'm saying, though. I just had such a fucking internal battle with myself. Yeah. And probably a battle I didn't need to have. But for some reason, that's where my mind took me to.
Yeah.
And like for that 3 years, as I say, between like 34 and 37, I just had chaos in my head of like the push-pull of like, should I play? Could I play? I'll still play. I don't want to play. It was fucking chaos.
Yeah.
And it was really difficult. And it wasn't like for the last like 3 years of my career, I don't think it's tainted it because I still look back and think, fuck, I've done really well. But it was a difficult time. And I don't know why I made it so difficult. I don't know why, but your mind's a fucking funny old thing.
I'm going to sidetrack on this. For anyone listening to the pod that kind of goes through things, I think back to that bus trip, and there was obviously on one side of the bus, there was Gary who was sat there going through the battles he's just mentioned in his head. To the left of him was me, who at that point, 6 months previously, I tried to kill myself. I was going through a really bad time with a breakup. And it was two guys that were sat literally two rows apart, didn't speak to each other. And now me and Gary speak to each other on a regular basis. He tells me his problems, I tell him mine. So see, what I'm trying to say to people listening is, don't care if you're a bloke and you need to stay and you want to speak to another bloke, just do it. Because me and Gary have spoke to each other and now we've found friendship in each other, but we've also found like something quite therapeutic between the relationship. So if you want to, if there's a guy next to you who you think you want to ask, are you all right, mate? Never worry about doing it, because I think back and me and Gary could have found this relationship 2 years ago by just one of us saying to the other guy, are you all right, pal? You know what I mean? So if anyone's listening to this and finds any sort of motivation in what I've just said, perfect. And I hope it is. But away from the emotional side.
You need a bit of emotion, mate. I love it.
So at what point did you think, I'm done, mate?
Definitely. Look, I probably knew it before at Locos, but
confirmed it for you.
Yeah, I'd been there for probably 3 months, and it just was back to that fucking difficult time of like really, really not wanting to go to training, like really not wanting to go.
But you also got injured as well, did you not?
Yeah, and my first game. So again, typical me. Like,
was that Hastings? Signed you.
Yeah, yeah, no, it wasn't him that signed me. So that's another funny one. It was like Stephen Park who signed me, who was the assistant.
Yeah.
And then Richard Hastings signed on the same day as me.
Oh, Jesus, right. Okay.
But again, it worked. Like, I played the first few games. Like, I started the first couple of games. Like, it started well, but the first game I played, I think it was Rothes midweek, and typical trying to impress, over exuberant, and I've smashed into a tackle and like I'd done my ankle.
Okay.
And I just like, again, that's the thing. You almost hide injuries when you're older as well. You're like, nah, you're fine.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I would be like, nah, look, I genuinely can't play the next game. But because I was at a new club, I was like, nah, fuck it, I'll play. Just and I could barely move it.
Jesus.
So, again, it's just fucking, nah, it's difficult. But no, it worked. Locals were so good. Yeah. Really good, like really understood.
Were they?
Yeah, there was no hard feelings at all. They were absolutely brilliant. And as I say, I still go up and watch. I tend to come up to Huntley or I tend to go to Locals and watch games, and they're always very decent. So
yeah,
there was never any hard feelings with it, mate.
So see, when you finally hung up the boots as such, I know that your sort of next port of call was getting the season ticket with Celtic, which we'll talk about. How long did it kind of take you? Like you mentioned earlier in the pod that you're completely at ease with the fact now you're retired. How long did that take? Like when you first retired, was it still a bit of, I maybe could?
Probably not, because I'd went through the battle for three years.
Yeah.
And when I left Locos, it was an unbelievable weight was shifted off my shoulders.
Yeah.
Obviously the first like couple of months was like, right, what do you do? What do I do? Like I'm fucking bored on a Saturday. And that's when I was fucking chinning bevy. Like I was getting steaming all the time. Started going down, so I got a season ticket at Celtic, started going down to the games.
Yeah.
And again, I was like enjoying it. I was loving it. But I was like thinking, fuck me, I'm going backwards here. I'm like going on the bus with younger guys getting absolutely fucking steaming. I was like, wait a minute, am I fucking enjoying this?
Yeah.
So no, it was, again, that was probably a battle as well, to be fair. Thinking, again, are you going backwards? Because you're going back. But no, going down to watch Celtic, as I say, I grew up in Glasgow for the first like 7 years of my life. And
yeah.
Never been able to go down because I play in football, so really lucky to get involved with the group of guys that I did, to be fair.
Yeah.
Great bunch of boys, and yeah, that's kind of how I spend my Saturdays. Just being a football fan now.
Yeah.
It's good. Watching Celtic, coming up to watch Huntley, watching
just,
Locals.
Just enjoying it.
Just watching football, mate. It's good.
And there's no urge at all?
No, it's gone. Zero, absolutely. I've been asked a few times, not to go back and play, but just if I miss it, and for the first time in a long time, I can say, hand on heart, no.
Like, yeah.
I don't miss it. I don't want to get into coaching. I've thought about coaching,
yeah,
but I don't want to get into coaching. Not at this point in my life anyway. I'm too at peace. I'm too happy. I'm too content with my life at the minute to want to rock the boat and do anything different. But yeah, you never say never in terms of coaching and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I see a lot of people going in to do it and loving it and being absolutely brilliant at it. So yeah, it's something maybe further down the line. You just never know.
We've got in the notes that you finally found some peace in your mind after football. How, like, I know it's like, how did you manage that? Like, I know it's probably not a simple answer, but
I think it is a simple answer.
Yeah,
I think it is. Like, as you just mentioned there, like, I'm a massive advocate of like talking about your fucking mind,
yeah,
and learning about your mind and doing a bit of self-help. Like, if you're struggling, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I've said it before, like, things like therapy, I think people think you need to be broken to get into therapy.
Yeah.
You don't fucking need to be broken at all. You could be in the best place ever. Therapy is just something where you're speaking about things that are going on in your head to try and understand things a little bit better. And as I say, like, so we spoke about it before, but I'm a year this December without alcohol.
Yeah.
Which again has probably been one of the catalysts of the change in my mindset.
Yeah.
I take an ice bath every single day. Now, they're not for everyone.
You're a fucking riot for that. I see your Instagram.
Mate,
right,
I love it. Until you do it.
I'm looking at the abs right now.
It's honestly, so like, no drink, ice baths, therapy, reading, and genuinely being content with your life. Like, so, when I was younger, self-confidence looked different for me. Self-confidence was liking my appearance, how I looked. See, as you get older, self-love to me is like looking after yourself, looking after your health, your physical health, your mental health, like looking after these things. And you find a bit of peace inside you. And it's over the past 12 months, genuinely, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, I feel like my energy is different. I feel like I'm different. And it's just a fucking nice place to be.
Yeah.
It's a really nice place to be. So that's why I probably wouldn't rock the boat with like coaching or anything, because I've got that lovely feeling that's just a baseline good feeling at the minute. I don't really want to get rid of it, if I'm honest.
If there was boys down the line like that are coming to the end of their career and they came up to you and said, "Guys, how do I come to terms with retirement?" What sort of advice are you giving?
Probably have a plan. Have a plan. What are you going to do at the weekends? Because one thing I will say, you actually start to realise after a while, you're like, how the hell did I have time to play football? Because you just find stuff to do.
Yeah.
You find your life being rather busy and you're like, fucking hell, I trained twice a week.
Yeah.
I played on a Saturday. But probably have a plan. Like, what do you want to do on a Saturday? Are you going to go and watch football?
Do you feel like you need to do something on a Saturday to take the sting out of the missing the football?
Depends, right? I think everyone's different. And as I've touched on, I don't have children. I don't have a missus. I'm completely single on my Todd. Any girls looking? I'm joking.
I'll drop the number in the bio.
But no, like, for me, again, if you had a family and stuff, it's probably a great time to finish football and spend time with your family. But
yeah.
I kind of felt I finished football and I was like, shit, I'm on my own. Where'd I go? What did I do? But it's also a beautiful thing as well, because you've got all this time. But depending on what, like, walk of life people are in, like, some people know when they need to retire, and some people like me dip in and out of it for too long and it ends up being quite chaotic. But yeah, it just depends on the scenario, to be honest with you, mate.
Yeah, love it. And obviously, just to finish, we kind of spoke about the Celtic season ticket. What are you thinking of the season so far?
I was speaking to a few of the boys that I go down with, and I've actually not been down as much this season. I don't have the buzz for it yet.
No.
We usually get the buzz after Christmas when it's getting into the business end.
Yeah.
It's a strange one with Brendan Rodgers being back, obviously.
I was going to ask that next. How do you think he's...
It's a lot of people have got a divided opinion, and to be honest, the calibre of manager that was getting spoken about when Ange left, Brendan Rodgers had the best CV. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. So
you have to kind of just accept it from a business decision, to be fair. But yeah, it's been, I mean, we're still cruising the league.
Yeah.
I think we will win the league. I think it'll be close, but yeah, it's go down a few weeks to the Champions League game. So it's, as I say, it's fucking just amazing to have the opportunity to go down and watch them. And as I say, I've done it for 2 years now. And as I say, it's the boys that I've got involved with are really good guys.
Yeah.
Share a car down with a couple of them. So it's excellent. It's good.
How do you find it? Like, anyone listening, that obviously you're teetotal, I'm teetotal. How do you find things like football and that? Because football is a drinking culture. That's just what it is nowadays. Yeah. How do you deal with that? Because I've got my opinions on it as well. At football, is it sometimes as enjoyable sitting at the front of the bus sober as it would be at the back with boys like Fires getting his tap off? Probably not.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with it? Just,
I'm going to give you a quote here, which is pretty fucking cliche, right? But drinking alcohol for me is borrowing happiness from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally borrowing tomorrow's happiness.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can describe it. So I was curious for about 6 months before I stopped drinking. I was really curious about it. I was like, something.
You asked me about it.
Yeah, something had like clicked, and I was like, you know, something, I might try it. And by the time I tried it, it's been the fucking easiest year of my life.
Yeah.
It's not, I went on holiday myself, wasn't even tempted for a pint. I've been to work events, not even been tempted. See the God's honest truth. See being able to leave when people start getting leery.
So good.
You can jump in your car. It is the biggest blessing in the world.
Yeah.
People don't, like, that's what I'm saying. People don't realise it. I still get my best mate, Nick Gray's like, "Aye, so when do you think you'll start drinking again?" I'm like, you've no idea how it feels, how good it feels not to drink. Like, you're actually not missing anything. You actually get more back out of your life.
Yeah.
But again, we're not sitting here preaching, because everyone's...
Don't drink alcohol.
Yes, don't touch it. It's bad for you. But nah, it's as I say, I spoke to you a few weeks ago when I was getting a massage about, I've got Nick Stagger next year in Dublin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, will I drink? Will I go back to it? And it is that thing. It's like, why would you do it for a year and then go back?
Yeah.
Like, you've seen how good life is. Like, that's another thing. Like, drinking, you used to have these, like, everyone has them. Like, they have ups and downs. Like, drink's a fucking natural depressant.
Yeah.
Like, for me now, I'm like, why would I do it to myself?
Yeah.
I just want my health to be absolute optimal. So, yeah, it's, I'd imagine I'll be on the non-alcoholic Guinnesses in Dublin, to be fair.
Love it, mate.
But like you're saying, though, there's that fucking catch-22 of, will you have as much fun?
Yeah, because you still want to be one of the boys.
Quite possibly not. But I do think the peace the next day outweighs that 4 or 5 hours of possibly not having the greatest of time the night before, in my opinion anyway. So
the way I see it with things like staggers, and when Femi got married and I was at his wedding, you can still be one of the boys.
Yeah.
Because at the stage that you stop drinking is the stage that they're fucked.
Yeah.
So they, once you're fucked, your night's a shambles.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're with him up until the night, they fall off the edge, you go to your bed.
Yeah.
You've had the same bit with the boys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You've had the enjoyable bit.
How many fucking good conversations do you have once people get steaming?
Yeah.
Absolutely zero.
You hear the same story 8 times.
Mate, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I was honestly at the Friends of Anchor Ball not long ago, and it was with work, and we were sitting at the table, and like, again, the first few hours, the conversation's good and it's flowing, and folk get a bit fucking drunker and drunker. And I was like, you just told me that story 20 minutes ago.
Yeah,
and I'm like, it's time for me to get my jacket. Fucking, I'm away. It's this fucking, but it is. It's funny. It's, as I say, I don't genuinely think I'll ever go back. It is. Life's good without it. It's really, really good. So,
mate, thank you so much for coming on. It's great to see you here with a smile.
No, absolutely,
really appreciate you coming on.
Top man, mate.
Thanks very much.
Top man.
Once again, thanks very much to Nico Pods Elite that sponsored this podcast. And thanks to New Advocates Park for hosting the pod. And you can get all previous Changing Room Chat podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.